Word of God this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, if you please. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. We'd like to read the first 17 verses. And may I humbly but very earnestly suggest, do not neglect to notice very carefully the blessed person of whom we are reading of. I am so fully persuaded the greatest neglect in the world today and in our country and in our families is the neglect of the person of Christ. He is the greatest person in the universe, in the mind and in the heart of God. And then, may I add, in the very purposes of God. I hope you know him as your Savior, for it is important in these days and in every day to know the Lord Jesus. One can gratefully acknowledge the mercy of God in saving a poor sinner by grace alone. As we read the portion of chapter verse 1 through 17 of this 13th of John, please may I emphasize again, with no apology for the repetition, fix your mind and your heart upon the one of whom we are reading and of what he says. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Literally in the Greek text meaning, he loved them through everything. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, and please know, he knows everything. As we read of this occasion, he knew what was before him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And you know, may I suggest, my dear ones, don't ever say never to the Lord Jesus. You'll get into trouble. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You do not fellowship with me. Simon Peter said unto him, he goes to the other extreme, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, And may I change one word as I read on? He that is bathed, has had a wash all over, needeth not only to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but are not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Please note his question. Literally, they knew what he was doing, but spiritually, they never knew what he meant. Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, blessed and happy are ye if ye do them. May God bless the reading of his precious and holy word. Oh, the joy of knowing there is a blessed person, and I say again, he is the greatest person in the universe, the blessed person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You that have studied the Gospel of John and read it and heard of it many times perhaps are well familiar that there are two great divisions in the book. The first 12 chapters, you have the dear Apostle John presenting the Lord Jesus in the glory of his sonship and messiahship to the nation of Israel. And he becomes rejected. In fact, you begin the reading of the Gospel of John. 'Twas written long after the Lord Jesus died, buried, rose again, toward the end of John's life, nearly at the end of the first century, when the person of Christ was being denied, his deity, his glory, his eternal sonship, who he was. For you may remember at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 20, these things are written, wrote John, that you might believe that Jesus is who? The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And that believing ye might have life in his name. May I raise the question? Have you believed upon the Son of God and received him as your Savior? For when you come to the 13th chapter of John, and in the chapters that follow, through chapter 17 particularly, the Lord Jesus is alone with his own disciples. Just before Gethsemane, and before his death upon Calvary. And in the chapter, the portion that we have read, introducing this great section, worthy of study of all believers if they will, chapter 13 through 17, where you have the Lord Jesus giving counsel to the dear disciples he was leaving behind, and for you and for me also. In the portion that we have read, there are three great lessons to learn about him. And may I say lovingly, I don't want to talk about anybody else but him. The preacher's responsibility is to present Christ out of the Word of God. And in this beautiful section, in the upper room alone with just his apostles, 12 of them, we have three great things that we may learn regarding him. First of all, his wonderful love. Second, his great and wonderful act that he performs for the disciples by washing their feet. Last of all, as you come to verse 13 through 17, his great example. His wonderful love, His wonderful act, and His wonderful example. Do you think enough of Him to think of that? To meditate upon it? I don't mean now, but day by day. His wonderful love. Listen to the words that we read from verse 1 through verse 3. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them, and let me repeat it again, through everything. And supper being ended, please may I notice with you, wherever the Lord Jesus is, the devil comes around too. My greatest hindrance in enjoying the Lord Jesus comes from the devil. So does yours. One thing is sure, the devil doesn't love the Lord Jesus. He hates Him. And we well know he tried to destroy Him. And the devil, putting into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. And yet Jesus, knowing, please may I point out to you again, no apology for it. Do you know that He knows everything? Even about you and about me. As well as knowing the purposes of God. My beloved, this was no mere man. This was a divine person from the Godhead in the form of humanity come to the earth. And knowing that all that the Father had given, all things into His hands, and that He was come from God, and that He went to God. Take it in. Who did He come from? Where did He come from? He came from God. Chapter 16 and verse 28. The Lord Jesus declares, I am come out of the Father. I am come into the world. And again I leave the world and go to the Father. He knew it. My beloved, we are dealing with a divine person as well as a human person. But there's no other person like Him. May I say, as we preach Christ to you, we are preaching a divine person as well as a human person. The God-man. And I repeat with emphasis, there never has been, there never will be another like Him. We need to give heed to His voice. He rises from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. What a tremendous act of humility. But let's consider first of all the opening words of the chapter. For may I say again, one of the greatest facts is in verse 1 of this little section at the end of it. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them through everything. Are you a child of God? I hope so. But I wish to declare, if you are saved, you're the object of His everlasting love. He will never stop loving you. You may stop loving Him, but He will never stop loving you. Do you ever think of that? Does it bring any comfort and consolation to your heart? Read me very quickly, if I may, the proof of it from Romans chapter 8. I'd like to begin reading in the 8th chapter of Romans, at the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 35. The beloved apostle Paul gives a challenge regarding the believer in the Lord Jesus. May I repeat again, if you are sitting here and not a believer in the Lord Jesus, better wake up before it's too late. But here the apostle challenges for and on the behalf of the believer, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's one of the greatest challenges the beloved apostle Paul ever wrote. Half of the great declaration of the gospel in the preceding chapters, and the salvation that our Lord Jesus has provided for every man, woman, boy and girl, who will by faith trust Him as their Savior. Assuring them, as you read the whole epistle, someday they'll be transported to the glory of heaven above and given an eternal body of eternal life, in the enjoyment of eternity forever, instead of eternal hell. But I want you to notice how Paul answers the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he names everything possible to name. In the universe, we go over them quickly. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter? And may I think with you for just a moment of the hundreds and thousands, and yea, even millions of people in Africa that have been recently slain because of human hatred. No, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that, you can translate it, through him that loveth us. Present tense. And note the consummation of his argument. For I am persuaded that neither death. You ready to die? I want to tell you what I like to sing him when I'm dying. I'd like to sing Jesus Loves Me, this I know. I defy you to find anything greater to sing. Neither death, nor the things in life, nor angels, principalities, whether holy or unholy, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May I raise the question very personally? Does the Lord Jesus love you this way? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Go back to our chapter in John. I want you to know the time in which the Spirit of God writes, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them through everything. The time of it was unusual, first of all. It was the time of the most sacred feast of the Jewish Passover. Dear to the heart of every faithful Jew, and may I confess that it was dear to the heart of the Savior as He kept this Passover feast. But then, no, it was also the time, as you read on, when Jesus knew that His hour was come. What hour? The hour of His death. The hour of His departure out of this world. Beloved, even on the very verge of His sufferings that He would bear, He loved his disciples. And another thing, he knew it was the time that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. As you have in verse 3, how true those words are. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God. But may I add, my beloved, I cannot help but add it. Before he went back to God, what did he do for you? What did he do for me? What did he do for every man, woman, boy, and girl upon the earth? Those that hate him and those who may love him. He died for everyone. And whether you were believed upon him or will never believe upon him, he died for you. You will never be able to deny that. You may, but it won't help you. You'll stand before him someday and see the evidence of his pierced hands and his pierced feet and of his wounded side. Yet knowing all that, look, he loved his own. Do you belong to that precious company? You read in John chapter 1 at the beginning of the gospel these words, verse 11, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And may I say, you may well know, you should. It refers to his earthly people, the nation of Israel. They rejected him. But then, in chapter 13, these men belong to him. They are his own. May I ask again? I'm not asking now whether you can claim the Savior. May I ask, can he claim you? Can he look at you today and say, you're one of my own? Thank God he can to me. I thank him for it. Now I belong to Jesus. I'm one of his own. My beloved, may I say, greater than all the problems that are in the world, it's a problem men and women are not claiming the Lord Jesus for their own and to belong to him. I wouldn't ask you what nation you belong to, what country you may belong to, and whatever political party you may belong to. Do you belong to him, and does he belong to you? Can he call you as you sit here, one of his own? Oh, beloved, let me say, I'm glad I'm one of his own. When first saved, I recall very vividly, and you've got it in our chapter, look at the men that he has before him, Peter, James, and John, and all the rest. And look, even Judas. He didn't claim him for his own, but he loved him. And not only that, he washed his feet. And it's my humble opinion the first one that he washed the feet on was the feet of Judas. And let me remind you that when Judas, though he denied and as a traitor betrayed his Lord, did you ever notice the last words in the Garden of Gethsemane when Judas came with the crowd to take him captive? Did you ever notice the last words that the Lord Jesus said to Judas? Read them in Matthew. And you'll find him saying, friend, wherefore art thou come? Beloved, there isn't a person like him. But oh, the joy of knowing when I am his own. Let me quote the words of an old hymn. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. But this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms do I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. When in his beauty I see the great King, in that day I shall sing with a united chorus. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. My beloved friend, let me say again, all due respect to our loved ones, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, parents and children, look, there's one who loves us more and proved it. Do you belong to the company? His own. Oh, what love. What love. He loves me. He loves me. Oh, the wonder of such a thought, that he loves me. I never can love him as I ought, but he loves me. No separation from his love. Please me, I say, love. He knew that every one of these disciples were going to flee and leave him alone and forsake him. He knew what was in the heart of Judas and in his mind. He knew the weaknesses of Peter and every one of them. But let me say, it never stopped his love. And let me say frankly, I don't care what it may be, you can't stop him from loving you when you're his. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? What a wonderful love. Oh, may you be in the enjoyment of it. Not only for one moment, but for every moment. And the joy of knowing. An old quartet hymn I remember singing years ago. I cannot drift beyond the circle of his love. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. And blessed be his name, the eternal object of his love. Love with everlasting love, led by grace this love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me, it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this rapture all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his, and he is mine. Oh, beloved, you know, it makes a fellow feel like dying good, doesn't it? Why not? Oh, the joy of knowing his marvelous, wonderful love. But let's read on. 'Twas followed by a wonderful act. Verse 5, as we begin reading through verse 11. After that he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is bathed or washed all over needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. A wonderful act. Think for just a moment again who he is. The Lord of life and glory. Disrobing his outer garment, girding himself with a towel, getting a basin of water, a wash basin, a wash hand and hand basin, and thus beginning to wash the disciples' feet. He comes to Peter. And as we find, Peter remonstrates. Lord, dost thou wash my feet? No, Lord, you're too great in my opinion. I'm not worthy that you should wash my feet. Look, let me say this. Never object what the Lord is trying to do with you. Even though you may not understand it. And Jesus answered him in verse 7. Tells him very plainly, what I do thou knowest not now. Oh, don't tell me Peter wasn't aware of the fact. Literally, he was washing feet. There are some people we well know in Christendom today that believe in literal feet washing. I said the only qualification in doing it literally is they better be dirty feet. Because that's what they were here. Why was he washing their feet? It was the custom for every householder to provide a basin of water that travelers coming in from the dirty streets, and may I remind you, they had no pavements in those days, but coming in could wash their feet. And it was the custom for every householder to provide someone to do the washing. But here there was no provision. And here was none of the disciples willing to do it for one another. And the Lord of glory stoops to do it. Peter, you'll know hereafter what I mean. And then Peter goes to the other extreme, as you have it in verse 9. Not my feet only, but my head and my hands and my head. Peter goes to the other extreme. He wasn't understanding it. Please note carefully, as you have it in verse 8. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. May I say humbly but faithfully, it was nothing but the responsibility of having a clean walk as a Christian. Keeping your feet clean while you're going through this world. Well, did the Apostle John write, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man, any Christian, love the world, the love of the Father and its enjoyment is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away thereof. My beloved, look. Where have your feet been this past week? I say frankly, you've been in a dirty world. I don't consider this world clean at all, morally or spiritually. The devil's called the god of this age and the prince of this world. And you and I well know and hear and see and read about the filth that is in it. But you and I have to walk through it. We need the basin of water. And that basin of water is the Word of God. The washing of the water of the Word of God for the Christian's walk. Know with me briefly for the moment. Know with me in verse 10 what the Lord Jesus said. Now Peter, he said, you want me to wash you all over? You've already had your bath. What? I've already saved you. You don't have to be saved again. You have to keep your feet clean as you go through the world. My beloved, when you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you get the initial cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Have you had that? Thank God I had it. You know how long ago I had it? Over 82 years ago. He washed me clean. Forever. My sins are gone. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. I had my back, but I want to tell you that many a time I've had some dirty feet. What do you mean? You can't go through this world without getting your feet dirty. And maybe you come home from work, and at the end of the day, you feel you've been in a dirty world. You need the basin of water. And that basin of water is the Word of God. Let me quote a verse. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it that He might cleanse it and wash it by the water of the Word. My beloved, and James said very carefully that we need the water of the Word of God to keep our feet clean. In other words, look, if you belong to Him, you need the Bible every day. Let me quote the words of David and the psalmist, Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, you've got every verse virtually talking about the Word of God. But in Psalm 119, verse 10 and 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy words were found, said Jeremiah, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Let me ask you, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, let me ask the question, do you love His Word? You need it. And may I say, you don't need it once a week either. You need it every day. The Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the thoughts of the heart. For God knows the heart. My beloved, let me say very frankly, I hope not only in the morning, but at the end of the day, after you've gone through the day, you get the basin of water, the Word of God, and wash your feet. The defilement of the world. You can't help but get it on you. Maybe sometimes it may smell on you from the smoking going around you. But for the soul, we need the Word of God daily. And what an example. Let me please remind you of this. Here's the Lord of glory, the Son of God, humbling Himself to wash His disciples' feet. May I say, beloved, how blessed it is if you get into the presence of the Savior with His Word before you. Not only let Him love you, but let Him wash your feet through His precious Word. Well did the psalmist write, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. You know, it's precious. Well, let me quote the words of the psalmist again in Psalm 139. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with thee. I challenge my fellow believers, are you enjoying the word of God? Precious thought. Please let me say, it's the greatest book in the universe. And God help you and me to see the Lord's example, that we might indeed have the joy of knowing He daily washes our feet. But not only is there the wonderful act that He performed here, but what follows in verse 13 to the end of verse 17, a wonderful example. Now note in verse 12, let me say these words. After He had washed their feet, taken His garments again, He was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? And may I be reminded, where you were with thee now? He's seated at the right hand of God in glory above, ever living to make intercession for His people down here. But do we know why He did this example for us? Know ye what I've done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then your Lord and... Listen, you call me your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verse 17, and if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Beloved, is not only a marvelous and a wonderful love, not only a marvelous and a wonderful act, but a marvelous and wonderful example. Who's your example? Who do you want to be like? You know how youngsters, when they're small, they have strange ambitions. I remember my boy, he wanted to be a garbage collector. He liked the horses and big wagons that they drove. Thank God he didn't, but anyway, who's your example? My beloved, please let me remind you quickly, there's only one example. It's not brother so-and-so, nor preacher so-and-so, nor elder so-and-so, or any other man. Your only example, my fellow believer, is the Lord Jesus. To be like Him. And notice He says in verse 14, if I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. What an example. First of all, the lowly place that He took. How important it is for us to realize the lowly stoop that He made. Let me quote the words of Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The wondrous stoop of humility. Oh, may I say words that I've never forgotten, written by another years ago. God cannot use a proud man. Oh, the joy of knowing the example is to be like Him. And then, may I also, as He says, you should wash one another's feet. I think of His words in the same chapter of 13 of John, verse 34. And you note them very carefully. Go down to that 34th verse, where he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." My beloved fellow believer, do you love your fellow Christians? Here's the example. Love one another. And we read in Romans chapter 12, we should be preferring one another before ourselves.